from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that really believes you and your sleep are important. You. Yeah, you. Now, the way I do that is not to change the subject, but I use a lot of rambling word fragments and mild humor. So I won't get more serious than that, but you're important and your sleep is important. And that's why I make this show. And don't worry, I won't get serious again. It's time. What do you say we get on with this show? It's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. All right, everybody, before we get on here, I just wanted to let you know, Sleep With Me, again, exists from a place of empathy and compassion. It exists to support you in a good night's sleep, and that comes with a little bit of responsibility from me to say, if you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources in our show notes. Please use those resources. Connect with someone right now if you need it, and they can connect you to, you know, get you pointed in the right direction. And the second thing is, you know, I'm here to support you because you're a member of multiple communities of mine, and I'm happy to support you. And I want to make sure I support the members of my community, and I'm going to do that by voting. So if you're in the U.S., please, please vote. It does make a big difference, and it's a step you can take to empower yourself, empower your voice. And if you want to go beyond voting and, you know, use your voice to support the Black members of our community because Black lives matter, or to look at and use your inner voice and say, where am I with all this? How can I be a part of progress and positive change? There's going to be links to organizations that can help point you in the right direction in our show notes. So thank you so much for listening. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this show for free twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please, and I thank the people that supported the sponsors so I could bring this podcast twice a week. And oh boy, do I have some people to thank. I want to thank Aaron and Jason, who supported one of our longest sponsors, got those super plush Brooklinen towels. Those are the ones I love, the hand towels, the washcloth, and the bath towels, and not to mention that sweet, sweet bath mat. So thank you, Aaron and Jason, for supporting Brooklyn. And Lindsay suffered from motion sickness for 10 years and checked out Relief Band, posted a picture on Twitter of Lindsay on a road trip. Absolutely amazing. I want to thank Maya, who got two of the children in her life KiwiCo subscriptions for a year. So thank you, Aaron and Jason. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you, Maya, for supporting the sponsors, for tagging them, tagging me, letting them know you sponsored the show, or letting them know you heard their sponsorship. That is gigantic, gigantic support for the show. I really, really appreciate it. So that's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is getting you the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources in the show notes here in the U.S. and internationally. Please use those resources, and they can connect you with further resources. Just reach out. Take that step. Use the link right out of your podcast app. And also, it's a time of year here in the U.S. when we vote. And if you're over 18 and you're listening, get out there and vote. Show your support for the members of your community. Use your voting power to say Black Lives Matter. Just get out there and vote. It's an action you can take, and it's an action under your control. So please get out there and vote and show your support. And that's what I'll be doing. Actually, I'm going to go to vote.org and double check before I seal up my ballot and everything. I'm going to go to vote.org and double check I have everything correct. I hope you do the same. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
This posty poster song
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Lecture
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I know you're doing holiday commissions right now, so people should go to song.jonathanmann.net to check that out. And if you listen to the show on a podcast app, you know, share right out of your podcast app. Did you know you could share on your Instagram stories out of Spotify or an Apple Podcasts or Overcast or Pocket Cast or Podcast Addict or most other apps? You could share the episode you're listening to. You know, write a comment about it. Share it on social media. Why do you listen to the show? What does it do for you? It's a huge help. And that's it. What do you say? We get on, we slow it down, and get on with the show. All right, hey, everybody. So tonight's episode is a crossover episode with the wonderful podcast Vast Horizon. Vast Horizon is made by Fool. That's hard for me to say. Fool and Scholar Productions, Caitlin and Travis, not only wonderful people, but wonderful voices in the audio drama, audio fiction community. Always there, like to listen, to share ideas, to organize people. So just such a positive influence in the space. And I find that, that results in great art too. And so I really want you to check out Vast Horizon. It's VAST HORIZON. You could subscribe in your podcast app of choice right now. And the question you got to ask yourself is, this is going to be a sleepy version of an episode from season two, but you could binge season two, season one. They just wrapped season two. How far would you go? Dr. Nolira Eck doesn't know why the Bifrost is empty, but the crew, are they playing hide and seek or what's up? Well, the ship could use some bubblegum repairs, of course. And Nolira's got that, kind of foggy head when you need a nice little nappy poo. So discover a future bright and with the shades of evening. How far would you go for another chance? Well, keep your eyes on that vast horizon in your podcast app of choice. Here's Scoots with what do you say we get out? What do you say once again we get out with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, you know, things on your mind, feeling. So things, you know, you could be thinking about the past, present, the future, near future, you know, other stuff. So thoughts, feelings, anything emotionally coming up for you. Physical sensations, like last night, I had all three last night. I'm not to bring this up and make it about me, but just so you know, I can relate. I had the last one first, then I had feelings about the sensations, then I had thoughts about my feelings and my physical sensations. Then I had a debate about what to do. And then I did, here's some things. Who was the famous person that did like the stages of, I wonder if there's stages of like with sleep. It is, when you can't sleep, this is, I guess, the truth. It is a little bit full of G-R-I-E-F, if that's the correct spelling. But maybe I'll come back to that because I do a lot of bargaining, I guess, and I feel those other feelings. I don't know all of them in order. But oh boy, do I have that A word, A-N-G-E-R, too, bargaining, you know, what is it, denial? Oh, I'll fall right, like, and then that part of me laughs. Let me just move my pillow, let me just move over to the right here. I'm going to fall right asleep, and part of me goes, wah. Anyway, so whatever is keeping you awake, it could be any of that stuff. It could be, you know, that sound effect that maybe I'll like that voice, but that was a friendly voice. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that while you fall asleep. And so I've got a safe place set aside. I smooth it, I pat it, I rub it down, I say safe place. It's all set aside for you here. And the way I do it is I send my voice across a deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, extra words like those, word fragments, mumbles, groans, all to take your mind off stuff while you fall asleep. So if you're a regular listener, I'm so glad you're here. We haven't ever talked about this these stages of sleeplessness before. Yet another book I'll never write, The Scooter Story. That would be funny. Maybe that should be the name. If I ever do write a book, that's what it should be called. Written by David Sedaris. That would be classic. I don't know if the split would work for me because it would probably be like, yeah, well, like he gets 90, Scoots, you get, then we get 8, and then you get 1%. And it's, well, if, do I have to do anything? Because maybe that could be a deal I could be into then. Like nothing. For 1%, maybe I would think about, nah, well, I don't know. Anyway, where was I? Regular listeners, I'm so glad I can be here for you. And that you keep coming back and that I can help you get to sleep on a regular basis. But let me talk to the new listeners here. Hey, new listeners, welcome. This podcast is very different, so I just want to introduce you to a couple ideas to help you understand what's happening. So if you're new, the first thing to note is if you're having feelings about this podcast that are neutral or non-neutral, that's understandable. Most people, when they get here, they say, what is it? I don't know if people do a lot of squinting, but the emotional version of that, where you say, what is that over there? You see, where it's just quite out of, you say, what is that? I do that a lot when I'm walking my dog at night and she sees something that I don't see or senses something. Usually it's a CAT. Or what she thinks is one, and I can't see it. I say, what is that you're looking at there? What is it? I can't, because then I say, well, maybe we'll cross the street or something. I don't the cat's probably taking a bath or something. If it's a cat, I say, here's something I just got a random question that came up for me is anybody see squirrels at night? I'm not kidding. How did it take me my whole life to just wonder that? You see, when was the last time you saw a squirrel at night? You see raccoons at night, but not squirrels, huh? I mean, there's probably a 99% chance tonight when I take off for a walk, I'll see 40. I'll say, oh, well, you just never noticed us, Scoots. We're here. We're enjoying the evening. And we don't, you know, we scurry during the day so we can, you know, relax our evenings away. But yeah, we're around. Oh, sorry, squirrels. Okay, so I forgot. Oh, so new listeners. So this podcast is very different. That's one of the reasons you're probably having strong feelings about it. So that's why I want to tell you a couple of things. One, this podcast does not work for everybody. But in the high 90% of the people it worked for that listen on a regular basis, it took two or three tries for them to get used to it. So give it two or three tries. And if you don't like the podcast, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It just means you don't like it. Like, it's just a natural thing. You say, oh, no, I just don't like this show. So there's no judgment on my end if you don't like the show either. I hope you do, and I hope it can help. And I can only tell you from experience that it takes two or three tries for most people to adjust. And some of the things you have to adjust to is, one, well, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, all those things. Second, this isn't a podcast you really listen to. Just like not a lot of people go, like people go bird watching, but you never hear, and I mean, just because Hollywood has never glamorized it once again, is people, you don't hear a lot of people going squirrel watching, though I would probably, that would probably be a delightful pastime. You'd say, well, like, yeah, people like the birds because they sing. And but if you watch squirrel watching, you know what squirrels do most of the time? They frolic. Now, they're harder to watch, but oh boy, is it worth it. So there, I just glamorized squirrel watching. Squirrel Watch, the podcast about squirrel watching and things interesting to squirrel watchers. Hey, Craig, what, like, that's from script notes. But then he'd say, hello, my name is Craig Mazin. I am here in a tree watching squirrels. Because he usually puts a voice on every time. Anyway, so, oh boy. How did we get to squirrel? Oh, this is kind of a bit like, I wouldn't say it's like squirrel watching, because that's something you don't really think about, right? You say, well, yeah, I watch the birds more. I kind of, I notice the squirrels, but they're moving around, so I just kind of notice them in the side. I'm barely paying attention. You're barely paying attention. The squirrel story. Yep, that's how it is being a squirrel. You don't even think we're out at night where we are. But yeah, you say, well, I didn't notice, Scoots. I didn't notice it. Like, that's what a regular listener would say if we had breakfast together. It'd say, Did you hear the show last night? Yeah, well, I turned it on. Yeah, Scoots. Oh, yeah. Well, which episode was it? Because I'm working on episode. Oh, I didn't notice, Scoots. Whatever one was in my podcast played. Okay. Do you know what I was talking about? I think you were talking about melame, maybe, or macrame. Maybe macaroni or macrame or melame or meltorme. I don't know. Maybe it was Paul Anka. Again, no idea. Scoots, maybe it could have been Don Ho. I don't know. Okay, so I was either talking about macaroni or Don Ho. Scoots, I have no idea. I was barely listening. I said, you did a great job once. Oh, thank you so much. Really means a lot to me. That would be how it goes, and that would be genuine. I'd say, thanks for not listening. This is the only podcast that happens. You say, yeah, you don't really need to listen to them. That would be where they'd break the wall and they'd turn to you and they'd say, this is really how you use the podcast. You don't really listen to him. It's great. Greatest thing. And he's not even really here having breakfast. It's just a podcast. So I don't even have to think about it. So that's the first thing that can throw new people off. The second thing is that I don't really put you to sleep. There are other sleep audios out there, and most of them are different than this show, but like this podcast doesn't put you to sleep. It keeps you company, and then while you fall asleep, I'm here to barely entertain you and take your mind off of stuff. I'm here to be your companion in the deep, dark night, your boar bruh. Your boar friend, your boar bestie, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar, the boar, you know, I'm your boar bud. I mean, that's really what I'm here to be. So you don't really listen to me and you don't really fall asleep. That's why the episodes are over an hour, right around an hour. So you have plenty of time to drift off. But here's the other part of the boar bud role is I'm here to the very end. So if you can't sleep or you wake up or you say, I need somebody to barely just talk to me that I can barely listen to during the day or at night. I'm here. That's what I'm here for. Like, believe it or not, I'm working this whole episode, but you know, the work I put into it, it's twofold. It's there if you need it, and it's there if you need it, but you don't need it. So those are two things to know if you're a new listener. Couple other things to know structurally, and I don't understand, I keep coming back to this, and I always point it out, but then people always don't get it, but maybe because they skip this part. So the show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. I hope you know that means that you're welcome here and that the show is built on empathy and compassion for other human beings. And, you know, maybe not as much, you know, I'm trying to increase my squirrel-based compassion and empathy too. But the times I've tried to pretend to be a squirrel, they've said, Scoots, this is the last time we're going to give you a warning. This is archery. And I say, okay, sorry about that again. And I say, actually, could you call, because my squirrel outfit's actually caught on this branch too. And, you know, I still have a mouth. It's hard for me to talk to you with my cheeks full of, I don't have it full of, I have it full of nut butter. So they're kind of stuck in my cheeks. Don't do any of this. This is just imaginary, by the way. Okay, what was I saying before I climbed up in a tree? Barely listen. Oh, structurally. So that's the greeting. Then there's business. The top business is not really that long. But it's like usually our sponsor Helix, then Patreon, and then, you know, resources for listeners. And then there's our intro. So sometimes I think people think the intro in the business, I don't know, but the intro is around 20, 25 minutes of me trying to explain what the podcast is. But that's the surface what the intro seems like it is. Really what the intro is me warming it up and cooling it down at the same time. So you can ease into bed or bedtime. So if you become a regular listener, you'll notice, oh, well, I'm going to start Scoots before I get in bed. Or, you know what, I'm going to start knitting and listen to Scoots on the couch and then get in bed. Or I'm going to do some doodling in bed. Or, you know, I'm going to, you know, do whatever. Look at my macaroni or macrame or, you know, Macrame Today, one of the great publications. Used to be made of macrame. I don't know what that, or Malame. And then I'm going to make sure tomorrow morning that I wake up to that Melanie and Mel Torme podcast. Because they're talking about Don Ho, they have Don Ho on. So that, and they're making macaroni. So, okay, what was I saying? I don't know. The whole idea of the intro is that it becomes part of your bedtime routine to ease you into bedtime and give you some distance from the day. Because I can't really, I don't have the power to just put you to sleep. I only have the power to slowly distract you while you fall asleep. Really, the only thing I can do is be here and keep you company and be your boar bud. But that's really the most important job I've ever had in my entire life. Though I've had other important jobs, like working in a library. This is important to you right now, if it can help you. Structurally. So that's the intro. Because sometimes people say, what is the intro? Why do you keep going on and on and on? I say, well, give it two or three tries. I think you'll understand. And then there's business after the intro, but before our episode. And that's how podcast structure works. It's just the way they say, and that's actually the business that keeps the podcast coming out free. Then there's our episode. Tonight is a crossover episode that you heard me talk about at the top of the show. For my friends Travis and Caitlin at Fool and Scholar Productions, Vast Horizon. So this is like a reimagining of one of their episodes. So then you'll be like, oh, wow, I got to check this podcast out tomorrow during the day. But for now, it'll be here to put you to sleep, a bit like a bedtime story. Or more or less a bit like I'm taking an episode of their exciting podcast and making it into a bedtime story. So then there's thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. So you can fall asleep like at any time, but like usually it eases listeners into bedtime or keeps them company, you know, as they, you know, the you know, whatever's going on. So structure of the show, that's, oh, the reason I make the show, like I said, I've been there, including last night. I said, what the hey is going on? And sometimes that just happens. Like, you know, you do everything right, so you think. And then something comes up and you say, what? Why can't I fall asleep? I had everything planned out and I did everything. I did it all. What do they call that? Holy sleep hygiene, Robin. That's what I didn't say that last night because I said, what in the strong words for adults only. But because I've been there even recently, and I know it can feel, there's a lot of feelings associated with not being able to fall asleep. And there's some primary ones. And I'm here to kind of intersect with that or interrupt that and keep you company and take your mind off of that. And then ideally you could fall asleep, or at least you could say, okay, I got a place I can breathe here. Because eventually I reach acceptance. I say, okay. But it always is, even though I've been doing this podcast for a long time and having issues with sleep my whole life, I still have to go through all those other stages most of the time. And they say, okay, well, let me just do something different for a little while. And then I'll fall asleep, or I won't. And then I'll try to figure it out tomorrow or take a nap. And inevitably, that usually helps. This podcast can hopefully interrupt that cycle just because I'm outside of you. And I'm here to work on your behalf. Really, that's what I'm here to do. And the reason why I'm here to work on your behalf is because your sleep is important. You deserve a good night's sleep. And if I can help with that, it really gives my life purpose. Now, I can't help. It doesn't, like I said, I can't help everybody. I wish I did, but I hope I can help you, because if you get a good night's sleep, you could be in a position to flourish and live your life more fully. And that's really a beautiful thing. Almost as beautiful as if I get a chance to take like a little nap later today. So that's why I'm here. That's my job. And that's what's important. Now, if you're new, yeah, like I said, give it a few tries. It might not work for you. It might not be your thing. I have creaky dulcet tones. I'm strange. And I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But just see how it goes. There's nothing to lose. So give it two or three tries and then say, nah. Or, I mean, more and more often what happens is, like, the people that already had strong dislike are already kind of sending me stuff that's not super nice. But if you're still here, you could try other sleep podcasts. sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou or Empty Bowl or Sleep Whispers. Just start there and, you know, see if there's something else out there. And then some people find their way back. Well, like, that happens more and more often because, and that's just a natural part of it forever. You know, we've had that, I'll never watch that show. And then somebody says, have you seen that? And I say, no, maybe I'll check it out now. Like, people come back to this with fresh ears where they strongly listened once, had a strong reaction, then either had something come up or someone said, hey, are you sure you haven't tried that? Like, have you tried not listening to that podcast? Well, how do I do that? Well, you just turned it on and you kind of barely, oh, the first time I was listening and it was Scooter's too much to handle. And you say, yeah, you don't handle him. You just let him. It's kind of like you're like a sieve. He just passes through you. I mean, on a metaphoric, and not even in a metaphoric. No, thank you, Scooter. Please don't pass. No problem. I wouldn't pass through you. Pass by you. breeze by. Okay, yeah, thanks, Scooter. Thanks anyway for that stuff. I'm sorry I wasn't listening to you at breakfast. No, but that was an, you're a figment of my imagination for the listeners. Oh, I don't listen to you, Scoots. Yeah, it means I'm doing my job. That's what I'm proud. Believe it or not, I'm proud of that. I'm proud even the figments of my imagination don't need to listen to me. Thanks for pointing that out. So I'm glad you're here. I really hope I can help you sleep by me keeping you company and you, you know, just kind of tuning me out or barely listening. Or if you need to, you can listen. I'll be here. But I appreciate you coming by. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways. This is really how we're able to bring you this podcast for free. Thanks. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here. I'm going to turn the podcast over to a guest storyteller from far in the past. You haven't heard her voice in a while. And she's going to bring you a special crossover episode. She's going to be telling the bedtime tale based on season 2, episode 9 of Vast Horizon, The Choices We Make. And this is a podcast made by two amazing people, Caitlin and Travis. You heard me talk about it towards the beginning of the show. And it's a perfect opportunity. They just wrapped their second season. So you could listen to this episode, then you can compare it. You could listen to episode, you could binge through season 1 and season 2. And believe me, you're going to want to. You could also... if you're new to the show, you could listen to this, you could listen to episode 9, and then you could listen, like you say, okay, now I'm going to listen to the entire first and second seasons, kind of like episode 9 was some sort of prequel. Say, where am I? What's happening? But I'd highly recommend starting at episode 1 and just queuing it up and setting yourself up for a journey. But without further ado, let me turn things over to the world-famous storyteller, Agatha. Well, hello, everyone. This is Agatha. And I'm here to tell you a tale. Oh, Travis and Caitlin are such good people. Even though I live in another world, I'm here to tell the children of my world this tale. You're listening in, but you're special. I'm talking right to you, of course. I was trying to have an English, Earth English accent, but I'm not very good at it. But so I'll just tell the tale in my voice. Oh, my children. This is called The Choices We Make from Vast Horizon. And I want you to slowly fade in. And you might say, Agatha, where are we? Well, I want you to imagine, are we in outer space or where are we is a good question. As you hear sounds, there's a phone call ending, an electronic phone call. There's a beeping and then we hear footsteps and a door opens and closes. And then the character I'd like you to think about identifying with children, Nolira, says, "What's wrong?" And there's something happening. She's not just asking because the door is opened and someone's there, someone named Sanjay. But she's asking because there's a thumping, like a bass drum. You'd say, is that a stereo system on what is that? And you say, Agatha, how do you know of these things when the world you come from? I say, well, just settle in for this tale, children. There's no questions here. They can't be answered. I wasn't yes, this is, it's a bass sound, like a bass drum. A deep thumping, but not in a consistent way, in an irregular moment. So you say, well, I don't like that because it doesn't have the consistency. Oh, but let's get back to Nolira. She says, what's wrong? And Sanjay says, come with me. And quickly, they leave the room they're in, and as they're walking, tip-tip-tapping, they have crisp steps, the two of them. You start to hear other voices, concerned voices, worrying, saying, what's with that thumping? I was trying to curl my hair. I have to launch tomorrow morning, and I'm quite grouchy now. What is with that thumping? And there's more thumping, even more powerful. And there's more and more displeasured voices when Nolira says, what is that? I don't even know. Is that a bass drum of a car? Or whatever. You say it's not a bass drum in a car. Okay, it's a thumper. It's a thumping thumper. Something's a thumping, we'll say. Sanjay says, well, we don't know yet. Security sent us all texts, saying, we don't know why there's all this thumping outside. Get down to the lobby because it's some sort of impromptu parade. But a parade saying, we think it may be. Do you remember the tale of, what was that called? The Pied Piper. What would have happened if you didn't know the Pied Piper was up to no good? That's what's happening here, maybe. They're saying, well, there's texts that say this is a parade and we're all supposed to go along with the thumping bass vehicles and even flatbed vehicles with people playing giant kettle drums. But he also says, okay, it's in the we're meeting everybody in the lobby. Camila's trying to contact Carlos right now. Nolira says, she tries to bring things down. Okay, it's going to be fine. Let's just wait for Carlos. It's business as usual. Nothing to be concerned about. Everyone loves a parade, even an impromptu parade in the middle of, that's inconvenient timing. But there's more thumping, children. And, of course, the children, if you could imagine yourself there, you'd say, well, I want to follow. There's something about that, the thumping. Now that I'm out of bed, I want to follow it. And Nolira says, yes, you're right. It'll be fine. Let's just stay calm and wait. But children, if you could see her face, you say, you're saying one thing, New Lyra. But your body and your mind, and your body's telling me what's really on your mind, your face, you can't hide it, not even from Sanjay, who's this doctor. And she says, wait. Sanjay says, exactly. Are you okay, doctor? And then horns, like fancy horns that go doodle-doo-da-doo, or stuff like that, start honking. And there's more bass thumping. And Sanjay says, doctor, do you know something about this parade? Is there a myth we're not familiar with in this story of a Pied Piper? I just wonder if those people knew the myth of the Pied Piper. Well, you could say both sides, doctor. What would they have missed out on? But also, would they have not have gone? But of course, it could have been false Pied Pipers. But no, Lyra says, no, I'm okay, thank you. It's just a memory, says Sanjay. So what do we know that's happening? It's a parade, right? Bring me back. Yes, doctor, a parade. Maybe. I don't think it's great to speculate. We're not sure. I guess technically it's a line of cars and vehicles and floats. So I guess technically it is, but to speculate more would not be a good idea. Yes, of course. And then we hear someone with one of those bull horns or a cone, or just very good at projecting their voice, children. No need to project your voice now. Agatha's telling this tale. Stay in your seats and get comfortable, as I tell you. That an announcer person, probably on a blowhorn in this situation, or with some sort of floating technological wonder, says, okay, everybody, listen up closely. We need to follow along with this parade. It's really sweeping us up with our emotions, and let's just orderly follow along here. Now, it looks like the parade is heading down. We're going to head out these back doors, not single file, but like as if you were in single file with a politeness of that single file style. And we want you to go towards Marine Street. Now, don't bring anything along you can't carry for a long walk. We don't know how long this parade is. And remember, that's Marine Street, not Marine Boulevard. And then the person puts down the blowhorn and says, Dr. Zhang Anchui, please, I need to speak with you. He's speaking to No Lyra, and she says, well, what's going on? What is this? Is this actually a parade? And he says, Carlos said that there's it's something more than a parade, but we don't know what more. There's something else going on. And also, don't tell anybody this, but the thumping of the bass is not good. The construction of these domiciles, one of the reasons we should follow this parade is that they're not prepared for dealing with this level of bass thumping. This is unprecedented bass thumping. Some of the bass we can't even detect because it's subsonic or something. I don't know, doctor. I'm not an audio doctor. So we have to... Oh, by the way, I got to talk to everybody else. Excuse me. Everybody, please... move now again. I don't want to keep repeating myself. I know we should have chosen a bit more names, but Marine Street, there's Marine Boulevard, Marine Lane. Marine Place doesn't even go through, so please don't go down Marine Place. Marine Square, Marine Street is what we're looking for. That's where the parade, just follow the parade, I guess. And then more things, we hear more things. People are coming out of the buildings, the chattering, the bass is thumping. Some people are saying that they're already weighing in whether their feelings about pro or anti-bass. The following, and then it says, okay, everybody, holy mackerel, who named these streets? It's Marine Street. Street. Just go to the one named Street. Forget the Marine part. You want to be on a street, not a... how many different names? Oh, none of the, don't worry about the Marine. Just go down Street. And then, you know, even stuff is coming out of the trees, like pine needles from the base thumping. And I don't know, people are saying, I'm not sure this, my teeth feel like they're furry now from this. And then it seems like somehow people are pointing fingers, as they do with these type of events where the pro and anti, they say, that's her, that's the base maker. Someone else says, she's the Pied Piper, I believe. This is a Pied Piper. And then the authority figure says, everyone stay calm, please. Once again, please stay calm and follow to Marine Street. Nolira says, what is going on? Why is everybody arguing? Is this a dream? I don't know, doctor, but I'm trying to... Could you just go to Marine Street, please? I think I remember that tale of the Pied Piper. If there was a Pied Piper, let me just say, Nolira, I'm an authority figure. If there was a Pied Piper, I would know about it. I have a headset on. They would let me know. All I know is I follow, I'm just following the commands coming through my headset. It says, everyone go to Marine Street, please. Oh, now people are not walking orderly, and also people are, disagreeing about the... Oh, boy, excuse me, please. Even I, Nolira, please, everybody, calm down. This is a good... Oh, and now the crowd, children. Now, don't worry, children. I wouldn't be telling you this tale if it didn't have a pleasant conclusion. But much like you've seen when the other classes you go to that aren't taught by me, Agatha... You know, with the teachers or the adults, the authorities, they maybe, let someone run away with things instead of giving children the proper space. Everyone got very loud and it became a big thing. But we'll fade away from that. And I want you to think about the sounds of a command deck. You say, Agatha, I don't know what a command deck is. Well, there's beeping. There's chattering, there's people working, some people working silently, which some of you children don't know necessarily how to do at your desks sometimes. This is futuristic, children, so there's screens and there's lights and pleasant sounds, because you have to work there all day long, so it's audibly comforting, and it has a busy sound of a productive workplace. But the commands themselves are not commanding. They're just there in the background. And, some of you children, some of you when we do our plays are the stars, and some of you are the chorus. And this is a chorus member who says, who's in a uniform and says, Captain, the private rooms are having for timeouts, those are having audio malfunctions. And we can't even audio surveil those rooms for timeout to hear if anyone's using, we can't hear them. Even the extra rooms that the navigation crew are using, we can't listen in on anyone. And that's usually, in case they're whispering secrets. And you said to keep an eye on number one and two, especially. So unless you want to send someone there in person, we can see them. We just can't hear them, Captain. Okay, Captain. This is, I'm this. Oh, this character's kind of like a second in command character. And you'll learn more when you listen to this whole story. You say, well, I formulated a much different vision than yours, Agatha. And I'd say, good, that's good. Your imagination. This is theater of the mind, children. Not what I'm doing here, what you'll listen to one day. Captain, this has happened before. Audio malfunctions occurred when Dr. Zhang Antui had a previous meeting with the guest from the Bifrost. Oh, I'm the captain, and I gotta think this out and make a puff up my chest and cross my arms. And show that I'm not concerned, because she can't do anything. She's in a timeout. She doesn't even have a... We canceled her screen time. And that included computers even, correct? Correct, Captain. What would you like me to tell the security staff? Well, I'm thinking about it. I may think nothing, not for now. And don't move someone into the forward annex yet. Go into her room and check her room for something. Maybe she's disrupting something. I don't know. Maybe she's got some sort of equipment. But check her quickly, because whatever's going on is happening in the present time. Yes, Captain, I'm walking away now to okay. Okay, good work. And then the captain turns to his first, you know, second in command or whatever. Gran, what do you think of this situation? I know you have opinions on the doctor. Yeah, plainly, sir, I don't think her capable of such a thing. Whatever she's doing, blocking our audio listening. I mean, before I even met her, I had assumptions about her. You know, that's probably not the best way to lead, but she seemed like a Pinochin, what you call an Oogie Boogie. You know what I mean, Captain? Is it Oogie Boogie or Boogie Oogie? I thought it was Boogie Oogie. Oogie Boogie? I guess it's Oogie Boogie. What about the rest of the... I didn't know you were a fan of that... do you consider it a musical or film, Gran? Okay, Oogie Boogie, Captain. Well, when I saw her taken in from the Bifrost and brought here upon the Walton, she seemed small, fragile, incapable. Granted, sir, many humans seem small to us. Yes, 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 but from what we know of her work... of her ability to adapt and her actions on the Bifrost, she's very capable. I know that, Captain. And in all honesty, I loathe her for it. Maybe a bit of jealousy, too. Given the circumstance, but I don't believe she's doing this alone. Well, I understand. We have to determine a way out of this, with everyone here depending on us. You know, I'm command, you're first, and, you know, you're number one. If we were on another ship, what do we have? Well, I've collected the updates from our communications, our computer science, and now there's something dinging. There's an announcement coming, Captain. Hello, command crew of the OTV Walton. This announcement is to inform you of the imminent loss of forward propulsion due to the Walton being out of gas. This will also impact the Bifrost and then the Walton. You have 37 hours and 25 minutes before you, because you, you know, you have forward momentum. You also don't have any fuel to slow back down. And you are at a critical speed, making it improbable for you to find your way back home. Which won't be good for anyone on Bifrost or Auxiliary Vessel 743-1. So if I were you, I would leave the Walton evac, as they say, immediately. Thank you and good day. And then, children, this is not a voice that has ever come out. You know, this is some, they say, wait a second, that wasn't the captain or the first in command or our general announcement voice. And the captain, surprised, but also a commander, says, do not prepare stations for evac. Keep working here. This is a workplace. And I want to keep up that beeping and those typing sounds, right? No whispering. I hear you whispering. Out of gas. Whose job is it to make sure we have enough fuel? Well, in the end, it ends with me. So we need to speak privately, Gran. Yes, Captain. Now that we are in your office, how did she do that? This is real. What does she mean, run out of fuel immediately or soon? I'm not sure, Captain. I thought we had, according to the electronic readouts, we had plenty of fuel. Oh, no, now it's showing empty. video surveillance, if we look here, shows her conversing with someone else in a timeout. I'm thinking that this announcement is a trick. It was a pre-recorded announcement because she's not reacting at all. Look at her. 37 hours. She has this on a darn countdown clock. Makes me want to pound my table here. But she can't even know how much gas is on the Bifrost vessels. And we've confirmed she's not communicated externally. I need to pace around and continue pounding. Children, you know when I get irritated. You've seen me pound my desk before. I do more of a tapping instead of a pounding like this captain to show my displeasure. You know, when I tap my foot, do you know how you feel? You say, oh boy, Professor Agatha's not happy with us. We've misbehaved. And then I usually say that after a long pause, Professor Agatha's not happy. Anyway, back to the story here. Sorry. Okay, tell me everything we need to know so far. Anything the crew thinks is worth mentioning. Okay, Captain, I have some updates, but they don't appear to have any solutions to our problems. I don't have the technical specs right now, but the gist is they don't have the right data. They've been looking at what data's missing, and apparently the first slight indication that our input to the Walton no longer matched that Walton's output was this split-second sensor report from just minutes after detaching from the Bifrost. It's possible that if the doctor is using some sort of computer malware, it could have gone on our auxiliary ship during docking, or she could have brought it on board by other means. One guess is in her bionic limbs. But at that point, Dr. Jiang Antui would be, she was sleeping, so... given a broad analysis of engine outputs or former engine outputs, engineering believes we're not going to be able to slow down if there's no gas. And they're looking over all the star charts to see we are headed into a unexplored zone that no one ever goes and visits. And it's really vague, and we're out of communication range, or we will be permanently soon. And then we won't even have communication with Technocracy. We won't have any, contact with FTS, anybody in charge. They might even think we're not working, Captain. We got about 4 hours till that happens, but communication is not even working right now. Because all incoming and outgoing data has just been halted. The last successful communication or data transfer we had was that call with Captain Park, and that was at the doctor's behest. Oh, boy, this is confusing. I'm thinking about everything. Okay, but after we had the conversation, we logged everybody's location, correct? Yes, Captain, but we can't confirm the accuracy of that log. Okay, there's someone ringing. Come in. Somebody's ringing the doorbell. I heard that, Captain. Yes, come in. Then, children, another one of the chorus comes in, a different addressed chorus member. Captain, I got your order that you just sent out a few minutes ago. We removed the prisoner. And we took the person out of timeout and brought them back to their room. What? What do you mean? This is irritating. I didn't give any orders. I've been here thinking and brainstorming. A team was supposed to be searching her room for a diary or some sort of tools or something. Captain, I don't know what you're talking about. I got the order, and we followed through on the order quickly, just like you said, tip-top or whatever. And we didn't find anything strange. We took her tablet out of her room. We knew she's not to have any screen time. We went through with that release. Like you said, release them from timeout and... from our purview or whatever. I don't know what purview means, Captain. But off of our command, basically. Here's your order. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. And it even says, I'm yours. Captain, that's you, right, sir? Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is a forgery. How did she even do this? Because it's a digital forgery with a hologram and a thumbprint and an eye print. Somebody's got to be helping her. Okay, go back to your station, please, and make sure you're working, focusing on your work, and disregard any digital orders. Don't take any digital orders, please. Only in-person orders, physical orders, face-to-face. Face-to-face via digital hologram, sir? No, in person, I said. In person? Would you? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, boy, Captain. It appears the doctor's announcement was only on the command deck, according to what I'm hearing around the ship. The rest of the Walton was not affected. So this message must have only been for us as a display of power. Holy mackerel, this is horrible. Okay, so nothing in her files says she knew anything about computer programming or this high-level stuff. And you said when this started, she was sleeping. Yes, Captain. Like I said, she could have pre-recorded a message and set it up. Do you remember MP3s, Captain? Like, she could have said that, she could have set that up during the rescue part, but she didn't know we were coming. She didn't know we were coming to rescue her, and she was sleeping when we got there. Sorry, Commander, I'm getting a call in to my headset. The command crew is waiting your announcement about the evac, Captain, and if they really want to know if we really ran out of gas, because that's really not good. They also said the backup fuel's empty. So then they said, if we're going to be stuck, we won't have anything to do. Okay, what about the comms crew? What did they say? The commander, they need 2 more hours. Okay. Oh, so, okay, if we get nothing by then, we'll reassess and make a plan. But get the heads of all the departments ready for a briefing. Because we don't have any time to lose. Okay, Commander. What would you like me to do about the doctor in her room, Commander? Captain. Sorry, Commander, Captain. Just leave her. It doesn't matter. She's on the ship, and she doesn't have any screen time. So once we have this briefing, I'll figure stuff out. Can you hear me sighing how, okay, Captain, let's get to work, though. Okay, I just have to walk on the command deck and hear. Oh, boy, there's the ambiance of the typing and the beeping and the working and the focusing. That makes me feel secure. And those are mechanical keyboards, right? So they don't even need power. To make the sound, they don't need the power. But anyway, let's get to the meeting. Let's get this meeting going, sir. And there we paused, children, and the command deck. Now we want you to think about a simple room. On the Walton, a cabin, as they say. When it's on a ship, they say it's a cabin. And there is Nolira. Worrying, thinking, fretting, possibly. And then she hears ding-dong. And it's a talking doorbell. Can you imagine if you lived somewhere where your doorbell talked to you, children? Who here, raise your hand if you want to live somewhere with a talking doorbell. Okay. Yes, Edgar. If you had a talking doorbell, I would have it say to you, do your homework in the evening. And in the morning, it would say, go back inside and wash your face. And then do your homework and then go to school. I'm just kidding, Edgar. You're one of my favorite students. Okay, but this doorbell said, ding dong, visitor at the door. Nolira ignored the doorbell, and the doorbell persists. Ding dong, visitors at the door, ma'am. What the doorbell could not see, because it's just a machine, was that she was lightly resting, her eyes closed. Not now, I'm just resting with my eyes closed. That means I'm sleeping. I've had a long day. Ding dong, excuse me, there are visitors at the door. Holy mackerel, these talking doorbells. Also, I'm a two-way talking doorbell, and someone wants to speak with you. Hello, doctor. The captain has ordered your presence on the command deck. If you continue to dismiss us, we'll have to, give you a stern talking to get you to come along with us. Or we could try begging. Oh, okay. ZZ, that's what I call it. That's what she calls a doorbell. ZZ, I love it. And yes, we have a ZZ. This is spelled ZZ. But yes, ZZ, I know your name is not ZZ. But anyway, open the door, please. There's footsteps. And the doctor says, well, I'm not trying to dismiss you, Commander. I was resting. Okay, well, why don't you come with us, doctor? Okay, I'll come with you then. We have to walk the whole way, huh? Yes, we should walk in silence, though, because it's a long walk down this hallway. There's all those... Now, they're in a ship, children, so there's other sounds, and you'd be curious to know what are they passing as they walk this long hall. A canteen to eat in? Yes, an outhouse. There would be an in-house or a bathroom, they would call it here on the ship. I think they call it a head on a ship, I believe. Oh, what's a ship? Like a boat, but bigger. Good question. That's a good question. And then they go and they take some turns. They probably take a lift, which they had at one of our fairs. It goes up and down levels before you ask the question. Oh, is it run by horsepower? Great question, Zeke. It's run by something similar, though. Good question. And then finally, they eventually arrive on the command deck, and we hear the sweet, sweet sounds of, workers busy, I believe. If there was busy work, it wouldn't be on the command deck. It would be where commander can't see you. Captain, I'm here with your guest. That's a stern sigh, because this stunt has left me in a difficult position, Doctor. I don't even know if we're out of gas or we're just pretend out of gas. That's one. My whole command crew wants to know that. Are we out of gas? Are we out of fuel? Are we out of gas and fuel? What about the batteries are drained too? Batteries aren't charging. Is that real, or is that just because we, are so dependent on digital readouts? They said we have other readouts, but they're all, we have some, I don't know. They have things with like that aren't digital, with a thingamajig that goes back and forth. They're trying those. And with the fuel, they're even using a dipstick, but they said we still looks like we're out of fuel, but we still don't know. But I'm really curious about this. As a commander, I have to have a bigger view, which is like, interesting. Does it even matter? Are we really out of fuel, or does it seem like we are? It does matter if we're going to slow the ship down. But everybody's waiting for me to make a decision. And I can't make a decision until I decide. Oh, you're talking about that announcement. Yeah, totally. That I made while I was in timeout, huh, Captain? Huh, that big announcement I made, eh? Yeah, I'm really caught up in my thoughts, so I can't pay attention to body language there, but I don't even know how you did it. But that's not important, because the clock's ticking. We don't have power over the ship. Pretty soon, I've been made aware that the mechanical keyboards will make a typing sound, but they won't make any inputs. And that's just the start of it. In the next 32 hours and 2 minutes. Yes, Captain, until you kind of reach the point of no return, as they say. The critical point of no return. Do you think we could speak to Captain Park again? I don't think that's required. Required? No. I didn't say required. I want to speak. I just want to, what do you want me to do? Like, I could give in to your demands, and then it wouldn't be required. It's a request. But, you know, do you have any additions to your demands? A ship? Oh, okay, sorry. I'm just, this a little bit of pressure here. They don't teach us, even experience didn't teach me this. So please excuse my hopeful tangent. Could you rescind your previous requests and actions, and maybe we could have an amicable outcome? Well, it doesn't appear as I don't think I'm going to be changing the terms laid out during our previous conversation. But yeah, I do have something I want to add. Sinan. Sun Sinan Anrun, one of the other people on the Bifrost with me, he didn't get a fair, he got consequences without getting a fair hearing. And I'd like you to all log an official request of some kind for his case to be reviewed and for him to get a full hearing of his peers when you get to a station or a free planet. Oh boy, so you're interested in bettering Trinan's life when we're about to run out of gas, 400,000 people. Okay, Captain, I'm trying to save people, to help people, including Sinan. There's a lot of stuff that goes on political that we've seen here and that I'm not comfortable with. And Sinan has the right to get a full hearing from his peers. And he's not perfect. I'm not saying he's perfect. But are we going to log the request or not? Are we going to keep talking about it? I will. Okay, we'll do it now while I can watch you visually log it. But it can't log it. There's no communications. It's not working. Everything's not working. I don't know, Captain. Why don't you try? It's working now. It's beeping. And lighting. This is Captain Sarpan of the OTV Walton. Okay, it's logged. It's logged. I unlocked it and logged it. But we don't even know if it's going out. It's not necessarily going to help his case that you advocated for this when you're messing with us. And what should I tell? You remember all those, that bird seed that was on the Bifrost for all the birders and bird fans? What should I tell them? Because you launched all that bird seed off. And we're going to try to recover some of it. What do you think of all those birders? What do we want me to say to them? Captain, I'd say that they can make their own bird seed. I didn't feel that bird seed was high quality enough. And I tried to do the right thing for the birds and the birders, actually. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, this just doesn't seem like there's a lot you do know. Oh, there's an announcement coming, but you're standing here with me. Hello, crew and guests of the OTV Walton. This announcement is to inform you of the lack of fuel on the Bifrost and subsequently the Walton. 31 hours now remain before you pass the critical point of forward momentum. And that aligns, ironically, with the Bifrost crew. So please prepare your stations and personal effects for evac from the Walton. Wasn't that you that just made the announcement, Doctor? How are you doing this, and why? I can't really answer that, Captain. Captain, we can't permit her to do this. We're in charge of the Walton, and she's taken over. Excuse me, I'm in charge here. That's a count. You know, you're countermanding my command. We already discussed this. Dr. Nolera, we'll begin procedures for evac, but we can't do that till you give control of the Walton back to me. Okay, just wait a second, Captain. Can you hear those new beeps and that ringing and the bass thumping? Do you hear that bass thumping? And now your command tablet is beeping. Oh, Captain, everything's back. Everything, control of everything. Okay, figure out where we are. Call Captain Park. Get navigation to print out all possible current location data. And send a message. Oh, wait, there's more beeping. There's more beeping. What is that beeping? Everything's gone, Captain. She didn't even do anything. It's gone. She's got to have help, Captain, from Sinan Anrun or someone from the Siron 7. Yeah, but there's no evidence of that. Who is helping you? I can honestly say that no one is helping me. I can tell you this, though. You've got 32 hours, Captain. I hope you can evac. You know, Doctor, the strange thing is I really think you mean that, but you're dismissed to your cabin right now. Please release the Walton controls, and we'll begin our evac. And once we launch the auxiliary vessels, we're going to need to open up a comm with Captain Park so we can prioritize things at least. Thank you. And there's beeping, children. And then there's... we got caught up in that story. That was good, children. There's beeping and there's tapping. And then there's walking as Nolera leaves to the room. And we hear doors swishing and tapping and people... And then a crew member even says, we don't like you, Nolera. And then Nolera goes into the room. Auden. Hello, Doctor. Sorry I raised my voice earlier at the cabin. No need. I knew I should have never come to see you. Oh, the captain told you then. Yeah, there was a meeting, I was there because I was a representative of the Syros 7. And I don't think we should even be talking because of your current... I don't even know what you're up to. I mean, you really make me feel naive. I thought better of you, but maybe I was just starstruck. Yep, it does look like the evidence for my guilt is overwhelming. Yeah, I never saw how easy it would be for someone to pretend there's something else when they're really a oogie boogie or a boogie oogie. Well, that's a compliment, but why don't you go further and say, geez, maybe I'm from Earth, one of those other legendary, maybe I'm a Pied Piper. How come there's no movies about the backstory of the Pied Piper, but maybe there are? Taking so many people along with me. But there's no way that that's true, because on this ship or the next one, that I would do this all on my own. But, you know, when I ask for help, when I go to others for help, all they can think about is my past or by their own disbelief, and they just dismiss me. Even out of caution or caring, I'm left to find my own solutions, so you'll have to excuse me, because I got a boogie like an oogie. Nolera starts to walk down the hall. There's a rustling as she goes in, and they hear a voice. Do you believe my actions are unkind, Nolera? Nolera says, do you care what I think, Ellie? If you did, none of this would be happening. She says, you know, children, when you make that sound, sometimes it could feel good. You groan. So groan with no lira. Now, children, there's one part of the story I'm not going to tell you. The next sequence of the story, because if you listen to it on the real Vast Horizon, you'll hear the voice of the pod man, you know, like talking as a little tiny role. So listen to the real episode to hear this missing scene, and I'll close out our story now. Now, children, we're in a spaceport or an airport or a port, you know, like when the ships come in for all of you. It's busy, there's crowds, there's noise of working, footsteps and those things. And you know, like what I've told you tales about taxis and those kind of things. This is in the future, though, a futuristic world. And there's a driver sitting there, Dr. Rivers, waiting for Dr. Rivers. No lira comes along. She says, "That's me. Which company are you with? Which company?" "Juan Rinston Porters and Delivery, Doctor. I'm supposed to be here waiting for you." "Oh, yes, yeah, thank you. I was just being cautious. I don't know Enlin Fan or Juan Rustin well, so I'm not sure how long it'll take to get to the address I sent. It's in Gonson." "Oh, doctor, I know Gonson well. It should only take about 20 technocracy minutes to reach the address. The port's outside of Juan Rinston, but in the right direction. This way, and I can take your bag." Then there's busy footsteps as they approach the vehicle. The driver looks newly up and down. "You look familiar, Dr. Rivers. You remind me of someone. There used to be this show my children watched. It was a geologist. She would talk about the formation of planets and volcanoes. Geology. You look like you could have been on that show, like one of the guests." "Oh, that's sweet. No. It's nice to know children still watch those shows, though. Like real science, right?" "Yeah. Yeah, anyways, I thought maybe there's like tourists coming in. There's some sort of parade been going on the past few days coming up, too. But you look a little bit different than a tourist here for a parade. Are you here for work or something? You kind of look like, you don't look like you're relaxed on vacation." "No, I'm not here for a parade. But what I'm here for is personal. So I'd prefer to ride in silence. I don't want to be like snooty silence, like don't talk to me. I just have a lot on my mind." "Well, thanks for explaining it in that way, because otherwise I would have said, well, excuse me, but excuse me, Dr. Rivers, of course." And they drive along, children, as you drift off, they drive in a floating way. Maybe the driver's talking about blah, blah, like the pod man would. "Oh, there's a building there. I know I'm not supposed to talk, but maybe you're just not supposed to listen to me. This is air stop 71. One time, you know, I dropped a penny here, and then I forgot I dropped it, and 2 years later." So something like that, children. And then the driver says, "We're at your destination, Dr. Rivers." "Well, thank you." And Dr. Rivers and O'Leary gets out of the car. "This is only going to take me a few minutes, I think. Could I pay you to wait, and if I'm not back in 20 minutes, you could leave me and bill me for the time?" "I can do that." "Okay, thank you." And then Nolira takes a break, and she goes up and knocks on a door, and it opens. And the person says something, and then they sorry, I see you must, I'm assuming you speak English. Sorry, hello. Hello, I'm Nolira. I'm looking for Sinsen Unten. I'm Sinsen. Sinsen, I'm sorry. Could you give me a moment? I got to take off my sunglasses and my hat. I've been moving undercover. You're Dr. Jiang Antui. I'm so happy to hear of your rescue. Come in. We could have a drink together. I'm here about Benan, your brother. Yeah, we have not heard from Benan for so long. We were told to assume he had, you know, moved on to another stage of existence. Yeah, yeah. Let's sit down and have a drink together. Yeah, yeah. Please come and sit down. I'll get us some drinks. Then you hear, children, the sounds of calm sitting and water being poured. Maybe some tea. Maybe some other calm beverage. Tell me of Benan, please, doctor. Yeah, when I was captive on the Ranwan, there was Free Trenin Alliance prisoners that were there. They were sent there to help me and to translate Trenrin. Ah, yeah, Benan could speak Trenrin. He could speak Trenrin, Yungrin, Yingguan, Technocracy Standard. He was even learning Italian, too. And Fagan, of course, he loved to learn. He wanted to be a doctor, not like you, but a medical Trenin doctor. Yeah, yeah, he said he was a volunteer medic. Benan was one of the ones they sent to help me. I'm sorry to say that it's true. He did pass on to the next stage of existence on that ship. You spoke with him, last of anyone. I hope you were kind to him. You know, he didn't strongly dislike you. None of us do. I know. Oof. He was kind and funny, and he said he was happy. It was his family, you know, that yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously. He gave me a little bit of hope, and it went a long way, and I can't thank him enough for trying so hard. Well, our family thanks you. I'm so relieved and happy to hear he seemed unchanged. That he was still so much like I remember him. You know, we said goodbye to him some time ago. Otherwise, I would have invited you to celebrate his life with us. Well, yeah. Ooh, this is, yeah. Well, let's just have a drink then, and you could tell me more about him. Yes, he would like that. And then, children, you know, as the two of them sat and conversed and in a way that comforted one another and said, it's okay. Yes, we're both having strong feelings, and it's not easy, but we're both beings that have strong feelings, and we can share that fact and know that, well, all does not always feel well. In the moments we are here together, the two of them having drinks and sharing fine memories and self-soothing and soothing one another at the same time, children, as we teach here. And also know that this story still has one chapter yet to go that you should listen to right in Vast Horizon. That's VASTHORIZON, right in your, those, well, not you, children, because, but in another world, people listen to these things on a, like a brick, that they hold to their ear or something. So, yes, that is the end of our check-in. And I encourage you to check in more and experience some theater of the mind for yourselves. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Dave, Elizabeth, and Josh, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Britt, Janie, and S, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Teresa, Rachel, and Valencia, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Barbara, Kathy, and Carrie, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jesse, Kenneth, and Ree, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kamala, Jennifer and Vicky. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Gavin, Ryan, and Sequoia. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Emma, Telly, and Timmy. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Will, Dima, and Leanne. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Rebecca, Karen, and India. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Rizzo, Evan. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. And Leah and Josh. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. And good night. All right, everybody. This is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.